Next Step number 571, May 16th, 2019. The descent of the Holy Spirit before Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit at the consecration of bishops, and talking about some other things that aren't so Spirit-filled, but important to discuss. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, looking at life through one of the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. Connecting the dots in this edition of The Next Step, I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Yes, you are right. It isn't Pentecost yet. Yes, you caught me on that one. Yes, you did, right? Pentecost, you are absolutely right, is 50 days after Easter. And what I did is I translated the Armenian word hokekalust to Pentecost. And in Armenian, it's so much more descriptive, isn't it? Hokekalust literally means the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's the description of Pentecost, of what happened on Pentecost. According to Scripture, 50 days after Easter, the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles, upon the disciples, and there was formed the apostolic church. In other words, with a mission, they now receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and they go out. Well, you caught me. You caught me last week. I was moved by the Spirit. I was moved by that same Spirit. And at the consecration of the bishops in Etchmiadzin, His Holiness Catholicos Karekin II made a pronouncement that this is a new Pentecost for the Armenian Church. This is a new Hokekalust, the coming of the Holy Spirit, descriptive, right? And we translate that in English into Pentecost. But you're right, it is not 50 days after Easter yet. It's coming up. But what His Holiness was referring to, it is that excitement. That excitement. And if you could go back 2,000 years to imagine a group of people sitting together and wondering what's next, they saw their best friend, their teacher, their brother, their Lord and Savior die this horrendous death on a cross. A death that could not be explained. Why? What? He loved, he cared. And 3 days later, the news arrives that, death didn't end him. He rose from the dead. And you know, you don't believe it, and you hear about things, and then he appears to you. And you can imagine the confusion. Is this really him? Is this a ghost? What's going on? And he makes you touch him, touch his wounds. And you spend time with him, and he tells you, look, it's me. And you are completely, completely taken by that. Now, all your whole history has told you nobody dies and comes back. And yet, Christ has come back. And now, what's next? What do we do with this? He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And on that Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, the Holy Spirit descended and changed those disciples, in other words, students of Jesus, into apostles, ones who were sent to preach the good news. And you could imagine the excitement of that group. And that's what His Holiness was referring to. This is a new Pentecost. The excitement we felt last weekend as three new bishops were consecrated in Holy Etchmiadzin. And by the way, thank you very much. I really appreciate all the wonderful and sincere notes I got. Yes, it was a pleasure doing that. There was a lot of thankfulness for giving you the descriptions of what's what, who's who, and how these things take place in last week's podcast. It really, actually, to tell you the truth, it took some time to do the research, and man, I couldn't tell you anything I'd rather do. It was so spiritually uplifting, looking through the material, reading those prayers, listening to the prayers. And then we had this opportunity, and I hope if you haven't seen it yet, do check out today's show notes. We will have a list of all the links where you can go. But the consecration we were able to watch here in America via the miracle of technology. Look, I'm going to use that word. I don't use that for technology because I lived through that whole experience, but it was because I was being touched just looking on this two-dimensional screen. I could only imagine what people who saw it in three dimension, what they were going through. And truly, the words of His Holiness, it was a Pentecost. It was the descent of the Holy Spirit. There was the Spirit was there. And of course, for me, it was extra even special because of the friendship that we have with one of the candidates who is now a bishop, Bishop Daniel Findikian, who is the primate of the Eastern Diocese. Knowing the individual, knowing and sharing time with him, sharing conversations. And yes, even right here on the Next Step last year, we had an interview with him. And knowing that a lot of dreams went with him to Etchmiadzin, it was almost like his consecration was a consecration of those dreams. And it was just beautiful. I have to tell you something personal, on a personal level. It was also on Mother's Day that this took place. For me, it was I'll share this with you because I love to on the Next Step. You won't get this other places, but it was my first Mother's Day without my mom. We lost my mom last November. And around Easter time, our bishop here in the Western Diocese, His Eminence Archbishop Hovnon, asked me to give the sermon on the night of Chavarum, which is literally means darkness. That's Holy Thursday. And on that night, as I was preparing the sermon and in meditation about all the events that took place, it occurred to me that at the bottom of the cross, at the feet of the cross, who was standing there? According to Scripture, it tells us that there were three women named Mary. There was a Mary. There was Mary Magdalene. There was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And there was another young man, and I think it's interesting that John remembers that John was also there. And it's at that moment that St. John the Evangelist remembers that Jesus from the cross said, "Woman, here is your son," pointing to John. And to John, "Here is your mother," pointing to the blessed Etchmiadzin. And in a sense, telling us that we have one another. And it occurred to me that Holy Etchmiadzin, Saint Mary, was with Jesus from cradle to crucifixion. She was there with him from the most beautiful and tender ages, from his childhood. She witnessed the miracles, and there she was at the foot of the cross during his deepest hours of anguish. And I thought to myself in this meditation as I prepared it, we do have that mother. We have a mother, Mother Mary, yes, the Etchmiadzin, and also we refer to our Armenian church as the Mother Church. And that's not a light title. Motherhood is not by any means a light title. And this is a mother that's with us from cradle to grave. This is a mother that stands by us. Yeah, is always with us. does not forsake us, does not abandon us, does not forget us, does not go to a place of comfort when we are in a time of need. No, this is a mother that's with us at the foot of the cross, Armenian Church. And here was my first Mother's Day without my physical mom. And I was being comforted by my mother church in watching this ordination. I mean, the excitement, the power of the Holy Spirit, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the candidates from priesthood to the episcopacy. And witnessing that, you realize that, yes, you're not alone. That God is with you. God is with you. Comforting us, taking care of us, and that God reaches us vis-a-vis the Armenian Church. Our comfort, our mother, the Mother Church. The service was just beautiful. It took place at the altar of St. Durtad. That's right outside of Etchmiadzin. And people were asking me, because in last week's podcast, I went through some of the descriptors of what was happening, and they were surprised to see it taking place outside. Outside, there is this beautiful, I believe that altar was constructed in the year 2001 in celebration of the 1700th anniversary of Christianity. It's an outdoor altar. And since then, the blessing of the Holy Chrism, the Muron, has been taking place. In former times, before that altar, actually the blessing of Muron, of the Chrism, took place outside. It was, as long as I could remember, okay, it was always done outside because of the number of people and pilgrims that come. So the construction of that altar took place, I believe, 2001. And at that year, of course, there was the consecration of the Holy Chrism. And since then, they have used that outdoor altar for various services. And it was perfect fit for this particular consecration, considering that Holy Etchmiadzin was under repair. I do want to just throw this out because it's going to be the topic of a future next step. But a few months ago, I guess it's been a couple months since the fire at Notre Dame in France, the entire world saw that. And immediately they came out and proclaimed that we will build Notre Dame, the cathedral, again. It will not stay down. And it was interesting to me because for us as Armenians, you know, we have this cathedral that predates every other cathedral, right? And from the 4th century, the place where Jesus Christ descended, actually the name Etchmiadzin, that's what it means, the descent of the only begotten Son of God. And we have this cathedral that is now under repair. And actually the repairs that they're doing now at Etchmiadzin, let's say I think 2014 when we were there, it had just started doing the repairs on it. And so in subsequent years as we went, and the last time I was there was October 2018, it was the last days that it was open. Right after we left, I think end of October, they closed it down for major repairs. They started taking down the plastering on the walls. And the repairs that they're doing now will guarantee it for the next 200-300 years. And this is a cathedral in the heart of Armenia. And I got to admit, there's something bothersome that we're not talking about this at the same level that we're talking about Notre Dame. I mean, this is the birthplace of Christianity. Yeah, you want me to argue that? I will. I promise I will. That's coming up. Not today, but I promise I will, because I do believe that. There's something very special about Etchmiadzin. So anyway, to get back to the thing. So because Etchmiadzin is under repair, the consecration of the bishops took place outside. I do invite you to go to our show notes today and do check out the videos. You will be inspired. They are beautiful, beautifully done. My only wish is that there was more. And yes, they have been edited for YouTube production. I hope that one day the entire service, including the service of the calling, which I shared with you last week, I was looking forward to hearing the service of the calling, because just the prayers, the pronouncements are so beautiful. So hopefully soon, maybe, I don't know, hopefully somebody recorded that, and that will be available too. But for the time being, do check out these videos. They will inspire you. Few things to watch for. The candidates, the three priests that come up, they receive the apostolic authority. Watch that moment where His Holiness places His hand on each of the priests. That's the transfer of power, so to speak. Okay, kind of like layman's terms, the transfer of power. When we talk about apostolic succession, when we talk about tsernatrutyun, literally the word tsernatrutyun means tserk is hand, trutyun is to place on. And we know through Holy Scriptures it says the apostles placed their hands. This is the process by which ordination takes place. So technically, from each priest, because each bishop consecrates a priest, and so therefore from each priest that we have in the Armenian Church, you can technically go backwards and find which bishop placed their hand upon them, which Catholicos ordained that bishop, placing his hand on him, and you will have a solid chain all the way back to the time of not a couple people that walked into Armenia and said, hey, I want you to read a Bible. Hey, I got some stories to tell you. No, you're going back to the time of a couple people who actually walked with Jesus Christ, sat with Jesus Christ, talked with him, were there at the crucifixion, were witnesses to the resurrection. Apostolic church, the apostolic succession. Doesn't get any finer than that, okay? That's how important this is. So do check this out. It was a very, very special moment last weekend to witness this. Our prayers, as I said last week, and we continue, our prayers should be with our entire church, especially upon these three new bishops. Bishop Daniel, one we know, going to be serving here in the United States as the primate of the Eastern Diocese. We wish Godspeed to him and the strength of the Holy Spirit, a strength that comes only from God, be with him and all that he does, as well as all of our bishops, as well as all of our priests who touch and affect the people of our Holy Church. God be with all of them. It's an opportunity. As Catholicos said, this is a Pentecost. Yeah, it's not the 50 days, but it is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, it becomes an opportunity for us to, yes, pray for those who are touched, who have received the calling. Pray for those who have been ordained. Pray for those who have this unique, unique position within the church to be the overseers, to be the priests, to be those who proclaim the gospel of Christ. Finally, in the entire service, I want you, when you listen to it, listen to the Catholicos' words. What does he talk about? He goes back to the mission statement of the Armenian Church. And I know I have shared this with you many times. I have told you that this is where it comes from. Luke chapter 4, verses 17 and following, where Jesus comes back out of the wilderness and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Yes, anointed. There it is. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There it is. And there it was. The Catholicos of all Armenians consecrating three new bishops and proclaiming, this is it. There's the mission. And I've shared this with you. How many times? You know, and you think about it. That is what's the – what do they say? There's like an elevator statement, right? When you start a business, do you have a mission statement? Can you express that in an elevator statement? I think that's the expression. Basically, the idea is like if you were to get into an elevator with somebody and somebody said, hey, what's your business? Can you explain it from the time it takes you to get on the elevator, time it takes you to get off, or your friend to get off of the elevator, okay? I mean, this is like an experiment. This is like a lesson plan, right? You coming up with a business statement? What is it? And can you explain it? Can you articulate it so people can understand? And there it is in Holy Scripture. Jesus proclaimed it from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And in that anointing, we understand that this is not usual fare. This is a unique position. The Christ, Christos, Chrism. Holy Miron, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Boom! Doors open, out of the elevator. It's beautiful, and we heard it at the consecration. Yes, you probably can tell. I was overwhelmed, and the Holy Spirit has filled us with so much blessings this past week that all we can do is thank God for these blessings and keep the servants of the Lord in our prayers. Let's take a break right now. We'll play the song of the week, and then we're going to come back and talk about some true matters that should be bothersome to all of us, bothersome to the extent that we're willing to do something about it, namely what's happening here in America with the abortion story coming out of Alabama just this morning, as well as the saber rattling that's taking place over by Iran, as well as what's going on in China with these tariffs and taxes, things that are not necessarily religious, but the religious community needs to react if they are faithful to their religion. I know, opening up Pandora's box, can worms. Well, before we do that, let's enjoy a little music. I wasn't planning on this one, but I had a meeting with Maria this morning. She shared this album with us called Garabala. And I want to share one of the songs with you. It's called Johnnymon. I chose it because, well, I like that name, Johnnymon. It reminds me of a word that my wife, Susan, she uses. Johnny gum. Combination of Johnny and potty gum. Johnny gum. This is Johnnymon by Garabala. Enjoy. Thank you. Walla doing Johnny Mon. What a beautiful tune. Hope you enjoyed it. I love the orchestration, the harmonies, the use of the instruments. Let's see, accordion, contrabass, the guitar, saxophone, accordion, violin. It just, it's beautiful. And I will definitely have a link on today's show notes so you could check out their music, check out more about them. You could purchase the album, support them. Always put the show in the show notes. There's always a link to the artists we feature. Because you know what? They give us so much pleasure. And in return, we should be thankful. We should be supporting these people. So do check out those links that we put in our show notes. Garbala and I get the extra opportunity of seeing them in person this weekend. They're going to be at Innovate Armenia, and that is at USC. It's an all-day event from, I believe, 10 in the morning till 6 in the evening, University of Southern California. Definitely we'll put a link on in the show notes to that event as well. And Garabala is going to be playing there. I don't know the exact times, but sure you can find out, or just come and spend the whole day there. Garabala, the name of that song, Johnny Mon.
And when the war was over, I went dancing in the street with the corpse of my dead brother to the sacrificial beat. And the Boy Scouts and the Legionnaires came home from overseas singing glory,
Things are changing at a remarkably fast rate, and as you think about it, your head starts spinning sometimes. In fact, it's going so fast that sometimes we lose track. It was just interesting that yesterday we were talking about technology and where we are, and we were in a conference room that was built in 2010. What is that, 9 years ago? And I remember at the time, this is in a particular office room, I remember at the time just marveling at how ahead of the times it was, because at each seat around the conference table, there were hookups where you could actually plug into your units and you could connect to the routers and so on and so on. And here we are 9 years later where it's obsolete. You don't plug in anything, right? There's no need to plug in. Everything is wireless. And in our lifetime, when you think about all the things that have changed and where we are today, watching old TV sometimes, you watch people and the things and the mannerism they do. For instance, the other day on the old movie channel, we're watching Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Sidney Poitier, one of my favorite actors. I've told you, yes, Next Step listeners know that if there was ever a movie going to be made about me, that's who I would want to play me in that movie, okay? Here comes Father Voskin. Yeah, there he is, Sidney Poitier with a collar. The other day, I'm watching this movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? And it's about this white woman with a black man in 1967, Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn. It's a remarkable, remarkable film of the times. And you're watching it today and you're saying, and so, what's this about? No, it's not an issue. It's a non-issue. And, you know, you're just looking at it and you're going, what? And so much of our lives have changed. Things that we thought were unusual are usual. Things that we thought were just there have changed. And if you look at the progress of that, you realize that you are in the flow of a society that is evolving. But what happens when you de-evolve, when you go backwards? And that's what we're faced with nowadays. Now we're seeing some things, and particularly this past week, we had some very disturbing developments, one of which was the abortion law, which was just signed this morning by the governor of Alabama, making it a felony to have an abortion, to perform an abortion. If you are the doctor, 99-year sentence, a felony. And this is without any exception in the case of rape, minor, and of course, we're now seeing people popping up and showing, well, what about this case? What about that case? And some very, very tragic cases. And I want to just start off by just sharing with you something that I learned many years ago. In fact, when we just started this podcast 11 years ago, I heard someplace, and I can't remember if it was just the general news or if somebody came specifically and told me, but basically, if you want to succeed, there's a couple real hot-button issues. Broadcasting 101. You want to get people involved. You want to get people excited. There's two issues. One of them is abortion. The other one is capital punishment. Talk about these issues and you're sure to get people riled up and on one side or the other. And these are polarizing issues. People will come out, I'm against it, I'm for it, I'm this way, that way. And it's always strikes me as interesting because I always remember that statement. When we just started our podcasting 11 years ago, it was almost like a formula. Like, you want to get people excited, you want to get people engaged, talk about abortion, talk about capital punishment. And I always remember this because we've been involved in so much social outreach through the years. I remember being at San Quentin at the maximum security jail there. This is, I would say, mid-1990s. I was serving up in San Jose, and I went with a dear friend, Anahid. We went there to visit. And I remember seeing people outside the prison, a small group of protesters, because right around those days, there was going to be a capital punishment sentencing. Someone was going to get the gas chamber. And because we were there at San Quentin, I remember thinking about this. And when it came time, I apologize, I don't remember who it was, what the case was, but there was someone was killed, executed at San Quentin during those years. It was within a couple weeks of the time we went. And because I saw these protesters, I tuned in on that night to see who was actually out there protesting. And it was just a handful. And it always interested me that why is one life different from another? There'll be hundreds of protesters protesting about abortion. And let me add that too. So this was right around the same time that right on Stelling Road, where the Armenian church was, where we had built the Armenian church, about a half a mile up, there was an abortion doctor who lived. And I remember one day going to church, and there was hundreds, I don't know if it was 1,000, I'm not a good judge of the numbers, but hundreds of people protesting and blocking the road right in front of his house. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, you have these two polarizing topics, abortion and death penalty. And it's just amazing to me that for the abortion, people come out because the unborn life is precious. But somehow we've put a value on it that the guy who's in prison, that life isn't precious. That guy, no, he deserves it. And so as a society, we have deemed it right that we should take away the life of that person. And I'm just throwing this out because, yes, it is polarizing. You don't understand it. You know, one life is okay, the other one is not good. Who's making those decisions? Who's being the God? When is that person becoming God? And certainly, just talking about it will give you your share of friends and enemies. You talk about abortion, you're sure to get a bunch of people who will be sided with you or will be against you. Polarizing. And so I'm very careful when I talk about it because I don't want to get into that. This is not about polarizing people. It's about having a discussion about something that's very important. More than life itself is the quality of life. And I'm not talking about what the state of that fetus is or what that individual in prison is. I'm talking about the quality of freedom. I'm talking about the quality of what our conscience is all about. Isn't the soul eternal? Doesn't the soul, isn't that the center of our consciousness, where we're at and what we think? And how important is it that we are able to articulate and talk about what is important in life itself. Not about my life, but in life itself. And how could you allow politicians, how could you allow a state to come in and make regulations about that life? I know, it's hot button. It's very hot button. I could see you right there, you know, the hackles coming up. And I wish that there was an easier way to talk about this, because it's disheartening to see what's going on in this world. We have a president right now here in the United States that I have avoided talking about. I've avoided because he's so polarizing. We can't have a conversation about things that matter because immediately becomes polarizing and says, oh, you must be against Trump, you must be a Democrat, you must be a Republican. No, how about you must be a thinker? Can we get to a point where we just discuss issues without the fear of losing, without the fear of demeaning, without the fear of being tossed aside, without the fear of being bullied into a corner? These are serious issues. A government which is regulating life, a government which is deeming one life okay and one life not okay. Yes, that's exactly what this government is doing. When it sits there and tells you that capital punishment is okay, in other words, the ending of a person's life, because we have deemed this person's life unworthy, as opposed to a fetus, unborn life, that life should be preserved. You're making a value decision, and you're saying that this one is better than the other, or this one is more important than the other. And merely to talk about them, to question them, already throws you into a corner. And this shouldn't be a corner issue. It's not about blue versus red. It's not about Republican versus Democrat. It's not about conservative versus liberal. This is a life and death issue. And we talk about freedom. It's metaphysical, yes. It's the basic idea. Did God create you free? And in that freedom, what does that freedom mean? Can we discuss these things without polarization, without being thrown into a corner? Because these are important things. Who has the right to talk about life? Who has that ultimate decision on what life means? For us within the church community, it's clear. It's God's domain. Life is a gift from God. Now, that being said, can you regulate which life lives, which life ends? No, it's not up to us. Nor can you make it a felony. A felony means you have ended the life of a person who wants to practice that freedom. And we as the church, what does that mean to be Christ's body? What's that basic question? What would Jesus do? How would Jesus react? Would Jesus ever end any life? There you go. Simple question. But that decision is not for the state to make. It belongs to the individual. And the right to make that decision is just as sacred. It's just as sacred. You are created in the image of God, having that opportunity to create, having the opportunity to make mistakes. Yes. As well as to do the right things. And so wouldn't it be more beautiful if we can explain, if we can talk, if we can harbor an atmosphere of love where these questions are spoken about, where the fear and the apprehension is taken away, and people come to those decisions rather than the state mandating that this is the way it's going to be. And we are in some very, very, very troubling times. In fact, scary times, because we're seeing more and more power being taken away from the people. just yesterday, along with that abortion issue that we're hearing about the abortion law that took place in Alabama, we're hearing rumblings of war. Yeah. They're telling us now that Iran might have some plan up their sleeve. And so we are going to prepare. We're going to go and we're going to be ready for action. And you ask, well, what is that? What is the plan? Oh, no, you don't deserve to know. What? You see what happens? You give the state the power. All of a sudden, the state takes it and takes more. It's usurping of that power. People don't realize this. This is what the fear and this is what the scariness of the day is all about. That we're giving away too much power. Yes, it's one thing when people take it away, but there is a people that are giving it away. That's up to all of us. When Jesus went up on the cross, we all walked away. He went on the cross. Everyone else walked away. We didn't want to get involved. We didn't want to be seen. We can't do that again. Because there's a world that needs every one of us to voice ourselves. Because I'll tell you something. If there's one thing that that is the most troubling for me is this concept of war, that we resolve issues by war. You mean to tell me here we are 21st century, 2019, we're able to see black holes at the edges of space. We're able to configure life. We're able to desalinate water, yes. And yet, conflicts are resolved by war. What does that mean? It means that we have not evolved. It means that we are not giving ourselves a chance to evolve. It means that we believe that there is an evil in this world and we need to address that evil with more evil. And that is directly, diametrically opposed to what Jesus taught. That evil is opposed with love, with kindness. We're told that in the Middle East, there is a state called Iran, and we need to go out there, and we need to be ready for war. And when you ask, what war? What's the threat? Well, we can't tell you. What do you mean you can't tell me? No, we are in charge. That's what we're hearing. That's what we're hearing. And the reason why I'm bringing, and I'm so passionate about this right now, is because something happened that was important in my life. So important that I've alluded to it, I've shared it, I've taught about this. And this is what the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote from a jail cell in Birmingham. He was not Dr. King, he was Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he knew the power of Jesus Christ. He knew that that power could overcome the darkest of dark. He knew what that light was about. And he was disgusted with the Christian world who just sat by and let that evil go on. He was disgusted because the Christian world folded its arms and said, no, 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 no. We honor the state. And don't forget Dr. King. St. Paul said you have to honor the state. Honor your governments. St. Paul said a lot of things. But St. Paul was living in a different time. Oh, no, 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 no. No, Father Oscar, no, he wasn't living in a different time. You know, the Bible is timeless. No, it isn't. The truth of the Bible, the message of the Bible is timeless. But not the Bible. The Bible was written in a certain time and certain space. And there were certain factors that were at play. Namely, at that time, they believed, and St. Paul believed, that the end was imminent. It was coming. It was fast. It was going to come. And you know what? Think about it. if you knew tomorrow the end is going to be, is there, what would you do differently? Well, you certainly wouldn't be worried about the government, right? You'd say, okay, tomorrow's end. You may just go out and splurge. You may max out your credit cards. You know it's going to end tomorrow. Your life would be certainly different than it is right now. The things you believed in, the things that are important, be completely different. And St. Paul was writing in that time. Okay, slaves, just relax. Get along with your masters because the end is near. Yeah, the Bible was written in a certain space and time. That's why I've told you many times, the Bible is true. But you can't take it as factual. In other words, you can't take these stories as fact. There wasn't anybody named Adam. There wasn't anybody named Eve. The story, Adam and Eve, is about God creating man and woman. God creating life. You got to get with the entire understanding of how the church presented it. And so Dr. King, sitting in that jail cell, looks out at the Christian community and is appalled. And this is where he says, I'm disturbed. I'm disappointed. And the reason I'm disappointed, because I have such a love for that church. The church, Christ's body, should be out there, should be the first person fighting for that freedom. The church should be doing the mission statement that we proclaimed, that was proclaimed at in the gospel message when every priest was ordained, when the bishops were consecrated last week. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Yes, to the poor, not to the rich, not to the ones who can get into the country clubs, but to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. There's your mission statement. Not to just sit around with your hands folded and say, okay, let's just accept the government. And Dr. King, in this letter, quoting neo-Orthodox such as Reinhold Niebuhr, quoting theologian philosophers such as Thomas Aquinas, comes down to some very, very basic ideas about loving, about caring, about standing up, about civil disobedience and opposing evil with the power of good. I have tried to stand between these two forces, saying that we need to emulate neither the do-nothingness of the complacent nor the hatred and despair of the black nationalists. For there is the mere excellent way of love and non-violent protest. I am grateful to God that through the influences of the Negro church, the way of nonviolence became an integral part of our struggle. Now, I'm going to put this letter on our show notes. I really want you to read it. Read it in the context of what's going on in the world today. What's going on in our society today? What is important? What is true freedom? How can we just sit back? Because this letter is about that. It's about apathy. It's about people saying that, okay, I'm complacent. You know what? It's not in my hands. Government says that. I'll take the government's word for it. It's devolution. You're evolving towards that freedom. And I'm not trying to over-intellectualize. I know that there's a fear. Analysis is paralysis. I know all that. But I do know something evil is at play. And that evil is ego. That evil is the love of money, which is driving what's going on. Listen to that again. The love of money and ego. Yeah. Think about problems in your life. Think about difficulties you've come to. What are the things that are at play? Ego. It's me, I. And the love of money. Need more. Gotta get more. I don't know for what. Gotta get more. Much of my ministry in the past 20, 25 years has been in Southern California, particularly in the Glendale area. Sometimes people say, what's the biggest problem we have? Thinking I'm going to say drugs. Thinking I'm going to say the alcoholism among youth. And I always come down to one thing. It's materialism. It's this belief that somehow the things that we can possess and consume are so important. They've gotten so important that they have consumed our soul and our spirit. And you think about that for a moment. You think about that really hard, you understand that, yes, all of the other problems are due to the fact that we believe that that materialism, that material wealth is real. And we forsake all else. We forsake the spiritual. This particular letter, the letter from Birmingham, has inspired me through the years. And once again, as we're facing this time, we're facing this scary time where government is trying to impose itself upon the people. I'm asking you to take a look at this. Let's come up with solutions. I'd love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you what your ideas are, because together we need to take some action and some steps. Listen, I'm going to end it with that, with just throwing this out at you, giving you enough homework, so to speak. If you read the letter from Birmingham, something else. Take a break right now. Let Susie make her announcements. When I come back, I'll tell you about a few things that we're doing through NHUs and things that you can get involved with. Here's Susie.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for all of you for all the nice little messages you send me, the little notes you send me. Yeah, I know. It's been getting hard to manage this. I don't know, but have you realized lately there are so many different places? I mean, I got people that are traditionally emailing me. I got people who are texting me. I got people who are sending me on Facebook Messenger. And now the latest, I've been getting Viber messages. So between them all, it's like kind of like hard to juggle. The Viber comes from people off of the continent. And it's been wild just trying to keep up with all of them. I need some kind of message manager. Yeah, there you go. Tell me if there is some kind of nice message manager app that we can get. Oh, yeah, Twitter too. Yeah, the Twitter ones I've kind of like given up because they're just like flowing pretty constantly. So I'll read them and I don't know when you can get to answering all of them. But I do appreciate all of your messages of support. And mostly I appreciate all of the love that you send our way. I do want to tell you about a few things that are happening here with In His Shoes in Southern California. We are putting together, it's going to coincide with the 11th anniversary of the Next Step in mid-June when we hit that magical number, when we start our 11th year of podcasting. We're gonna bring together some ideas for a newsletter that will have the written word, written explanations of all the things that take place. So we're excited about that. I'm looking forward to that. But this particular week, this Sunday, I'm so excited and very honored that Ascensia, this homeless outreach, is honoring In His Shoes at their annual volunteers luncheon. What it means is we have an opportunity to tell people the story of why we are out there, why we feed the homeless. It's an opportunity for us to tell the story of an Armenian people that were peacefully existing and were thrown out of their homeland, became the original model for refugees in the 20th century, became the original homeless, became the original hungry people. And what a beautiful opportunity to share this story by providing to others. That's coming up this Sunday. We'll let you know all about it next week when we get together for the next step. But do keep us in your prayer. Also, tomorrow evening, Saturday evening, excuse me. No, I'm off by a day, aren't I? Saturday evening, IACT. These are our dear friends, Gabriel and Katie J., who we've been with for the past 10 years. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary as IACT, as their outreach to Darfur, to the refugees, and all the good work that they're doing. This year, unfortunately, we're not going to be there, but we're participating with our prayers and our support as In His Shoes. Do keep them in your prayer, and I'll put a link on today's show notes so you could get to know more personally some of their work. I've shared many, many stories with you through the years about IACT, most recently at Christmas time when we did the Donkeys for Darfur. So they're celebrating 10th anniversary. Cannot be happier for them. Cannot be more sad that the issue of Darfur 10 years later is still an issue, still something that is on the plate. So do pray for them. Do keep them in your prayers and do support them. And finally, next Wednesday evening, if you happen to be in the Southern California area, I would highly recommend that you come to this event. We're throwing an event at the Lemley Theater in Glendale. We're going to be screening the movie Sufra, and I'll be leading a thought discussion afterwards. These are about refugee women who start a business in Lebanon, refugees who have gone there. It talks about the plight of the refugees. It talks about freedom, about, well, you know, right along the lines of what we were just talking about a few minutes ago, about where is that freedom? What is that God-given talent that has been given? It is not a religious movie. However, those of you who are filled with the Spirit will definitely find that story in there. This is called Sufra. It is a special screening, but let me tell you something. If you're in the area, do everything you can to come there. I'll put a link on today's show notes. The tickets are $15. For that $15, you get a meal. They're going to be serving a meal in line with what the movie's about. These women who start a catering business. Refugees starting a catering business. These are Palestinians. Yes, all kinds of action in there. So we're going to do a meal, then the screening of the movie, and then an opportunity for us to discuss. You will not want to miss this if you are in the Southern California area. Now I'm going to share with you a little other secret that you can find this movie. It is available on one of the major streaming platforms, and that one I'll let you figure out if you're so inclined to look it up. But I would highly recommend that you come out. If you don't figure it out, I'll put a link on the show notes next week, okay? So you will definitely have a chance to see it. Okay, I am going to call it a day. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. You can get in touch with us at all the usual locations. We're on all the socials. Our email address is feedback@epostle.net. On behalf of all of the wonderful people at inhisshoes.org, on behalf of our producer Susie, our technical engineer Ken, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off-balance. Top minutes.